Good morning and welcome to our departmental chapel. This morning, as we were meeting in our departments throughout campus, we were discussing the idea and presenting on the idea of faith and vocation, coinciding with Career Day that's also happening here on campus. As we explore what vocation is, one of the things that I would suggest as sort of a way of understanding what vocation is us seeking to understand where God is working within our communities, in our churches, through individuals, in bringing about the kingdom of God here on earth. And vocation is our learning about that. It's our engagement with that, bringing our gifts and skills that we may have to bringing about the kingdom here. You know, this is something that, you know, while we talk about this as a calling to a specific type of position or a specific type of job, vocation is much broader than that, being an entire way of life. It's an entire way of being for us as Christians in this world. So I want to sort of throw that out as sort of an initial thought as you're thinking about the idea of vocation in calling on your own lives. One of the things that's very interesting about being in the business department is that faith and vocation, or faith and business, is an area that is sometimes a challenge, both in how do we live out faithfully as business people within our communities, but also sometimes how are we perceived as faithful by others around us. So it's something that's very important for us as a department is to engage this question, because who we are, how we act, what prices do we set, what kind of profits are legitimate, how do we care for the environment as we do our production processes. These kind of things serve as a witness to the kind of people that God wants us to be, the type of world that that God wants to bring about, and we are witnesses, and we are sort of telling our own story about this as we engage in our profession and in our vocation. So I think it's an important discussion that we continue to have. Why don't we start with a brief word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to learn more about you and how you are asking us to be your followers. Be with us along this journey, in the tough questions, in the fun that we have together, and forgive us as we may not always reach the ends that you would want us to. We bring these things to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Two faculty this morning are going to be sharing with us about their own vocation, their own faith journey as it relates to being in business, and I'm going to let them talk a little bit more about how this specifically applies. But I want to introduce Leah Kratz. Leah says I should share any stories from our college days, and I'm going to refrain, because as most stories go, when I tell them about other people, it usually makes me look worse than them, and so I'm just going to stop. She also splits her time between teaching accounting here at EMU and herding cats. I mean, she is tending to the physical and emotional needs of her four young children, who are all wonderful spirits and full of energy. Also introduced Anthony, or Tony, Smith. He says that he's been teaching here for 5 years, and one of his greatest enjoyments is seeing me pull pranks on Ron Stolzfus. He teaches both an undergraduate and graduate the programs here in the business department. And he serves on the faculty senate, and he has a small business that installs things and puts things on roofs at EMU legally. So, as opposed to Buffalo that are illegal, they've been putting solar panels on the Hartzler Library. They've also worked with putting solar panels on Parkview Mennonite Church. And so he will also be presenting today. They each have about 5 to 7 minutes. After you're finished, just remain up here, and we'll close with a time of questions that you may have for them. So feel free to think up something interesting or hard, depending on your preference. So I will turn it over to Anthony and Leah.
Thank you. I was tapped on the shoulder by Spencer to sort of give my career path and share how I got to be where I am now. And so thank you for letting me share my story with you. As Andy said, I teach accounting here at EMU. I have since 2007. And as a little girl, I don't think it's typical to sit in your room dreaming of being an accountant. And I was no exception. I actually wanted to be a teacher when I was little. But we'll come back to that. Growing up and into my high school years, I always had that sort of thought in the back of my mind, but I did get sidetracked. I thought physical therapy would be a great career path. But then I realized in biology that I wasn't probably cut out for it because big, long words intimidate me. So, and I also thought being a news anchor would have been a really fun career, but I didn't really know how to go about doing that. But what I did know all this time is that math was always my favorite class. I loved math class. I looked forward to math class. It clicked with me when other subjects didn't always. So I remember very clearly sitting at the dinner table with my parents, and we had a family friend who was a partner in an accounting firm. And, you know, I remembered asking them, so Gene works with numbers a lot, right? And yeah. I said, and you can support yourself as an accountant, right? And they said, yeah. And those were sort of my qualifications as to what maybe I should do with my love of math, because I didn't really know a whole lot otherwise. So I signed up for an accounting class my senior year of high school, and it just clicked. And I found my way, and I was certain I was going to go off to college, major in accounting, and then move back to Ohio, where I was living and growing up, and start my own accounting firm. And I say this 17 years later, sitting in Harrisonburg, Virginia. It didn't happen. I did come to EMU. I did major in accounting, but things don't always go according to your plan. I thought my plan was going to be to move back to Ohio and start an accounting firm. My senior year, there were a lot of blood, sweat, and tears through those years of an accounting major. I wasn't totally sure what I was going to do with it, but I knew my senior year I probably should get an internship, and I was trying to acquire an internship, and there was a local firm that I was talking with, and they actually interviewed me for the internship, and that Christmas offered me the internship for the coming spring semester as well as a job when I graduated. So I actually had a job placement my last semester of college. I knew where I was going to be going, and it wasn't Canton, Ohio. I was going to be staying here in Virginia. So again, not what I thought, but it ended up being a very good experience. I spent time mostly auditing, and the firm I was at had a large concentration in government audits. So I spent a good time auditing municipalities, traveling around, and that several years later opened up to working for the opportunity to work for the state of Virginia as in one of their agencies as one of their assistant fiscal directors. And I ended up spending 5 years working in the state. At that time, I had gotten a tap on the shoulder from Chris Gingrich, needing an auditing professor to do a class just as an adjunct. And there was sort of this reoccurrence of this thought process from way back when I was a little girl thinking, oh, teaching. That kind of marries the two ideas of accounting and teaching. And I always knew that I always saw Ron in class looking like he was having a lot of fun. And I often thought that that would be fun, but never really knew how to go about doing that either. So I agreed to teach this one class, and at the time I was pregnant with my first child and knew I didn't want to keep working the hours I was working with the state and the commute that I had. And it opened up that there were some other classes that I could teach if I wanted to, so I left the state and have been working here part-time ever since. And that's how it came to be that I was able to marry accounting as well as teaching, these dreams that I had had. Not how I planned it, but I've also found through this process that in the instances where I've tried to control the situation and control my own fate, the less room I've allowed for God to work in my life. And although this hasn't been how I thought it would have gone, it has actually been wonderful, and it's been really exciting to see. And I'm curious what the next few decades will bring. I really enjoy working here, and sometimes I tell the students in my financial accounting class that you are my dream come true, and that really is true. Teaching accounting is a dream come true, and so I appreciate every day that I get to come here and have fun with you guys. When Amanda Garber was here for Spiritual Life Week, some of you may have heard her speaking in chapel about the great theologian Winnie the Pooh. And I thought that was actually wonderful because I have long felt that. Winnie the Pooh is it's adored in our house all around. And there is a quote, not one that she shared, but one that I would like to share with you all that I have really enjoyed. This is actually Christopher Robin talking to Winnie the Pooh. Or it's A.A. Milne, the author. But as some of you who are seniors are actually going out into the world, this great big world, I think it's kind of fitting, something to remember. And Christopher Robin says to Winnie the Pooh, it says, "Promise me you'll always remember you're braver than you believe and stronger than you seem and smarter than you think."
Well, thanks, Leah. That's a hard act to follow. I'm delighted to be here. Leah and I have in common that my initial connection here with EMU was through Chris, who was then chair of the department. And my initial thought 5 years ago was that I would enjoy teaching perhaps one course part-time, and here I am full-time. Very much a calling or something very magnetic about working here at EMU, this sense of community. And I first really learned about that sense of community and collegiality from my wife, who started teaching here a year before I did in the nursing department. And at the time I was running the Shakespeare operation in Stanton, and she said, "Tony, I've just had the most wonderful day." And, you know, she'd describe her experiences with students and colleagues. And so that's where my journey started here at EMU, that sense of calling to this particular institution, this place, the sense of community. When I first started my career, I thought I was going to be an architect. I pursued a master's in architecture at Penn. I had this grand scheme in my mind that I really enjoyed or wanted to practice in the field of designing and building in the physical environment and also interacting with people in that design process. I really love design. I found through some initial work experiences and design that the life track of an architect starts as a draftsman, and I found that was not quite as exciting as I had thought. And so I went back to business school, and in business school began to develop an appreciation for social systems. And at the time in Philadelphia, there was a huge upheaval going on in the neighborhood movement. Neighborhoods were organizing against efforts by large institutions to tear down row houses and put in parking lots and so forth. And I got very intrigued with the power of the neighborhood movement and found myself becoming engaged in community, working with neighborhood groups and developing small community-based efforts like weatherization co-ops, and that led to the formation of my first nonprofit enterprise, Community Energy Development Corporation, where we hired and trained locals from the community and weatherized homes of low-income households, began engaging with banks and with utility companies, and over the course of 5 years, we managed to, as a very small nonprofit, to weatherize the homes of 10,000 low-income housing units throughout Philadelphia. And through that, I developed an appreciation for combining business training with social enterprise. Well, I've had a very eclectic career, shall I say, working in Philadelphia area, trying to find my calling in social enterprise in a variety of formats, both in West Virginia and Philadelphia, developing and managing microloan funds. Eventually, my wife and I moved to Stanton, and I found a calling then in helping to turn around the Shakespeare operation, and then after that, the Stanton Creative Community Fund as a social enterprise entity focused on microloans. And that sort of brings me back to EMU as a calling and as a place, which is, in my experiences, enabled me to shape my sense of calling. Because as I enjoy teaching both undergraduate and graduate courses in everything from marketing to organizational behavior, stewardship and innovation at the graduate level, the capstone course in MBA for people, planet, and profits, I find a wonderful opportunity to engage in dialogue with my students in sometimes difficult topics like ethical decision making or strategy and marketing for the common good, and how does that in fact strengthen business, the branding and positioning and economic viability of a business. At the same time, through a set of some serendipity, I was approached by a professor at JMU about a business plan competition several years ago on sustainable business. And I thought, well, that's an intriguing idea. So I tossed my hat in to the business plan competition at JMU with a couple of other kindred spirits for a solar business that grew out of our collective experience in renewable energy and development, and found ourselves as finalists in that business plan competition. And the business plan we came up with was very complicated, not very realistic, but somehow we had persuaded ourselves and many of the jury members that it actually might have some potential. As I look back on it, I'm really amazed that we had such crazy ideas. But we decided, even though we didn't win the competition, we decided to continue pursuing that idea. So the business plan competition was the seed for our solar development company. And we kept working on it and worked very closely with Eldon Kurtz, who likewise thought it was a pretty crazy idea that we would propose as part of our business plan to install solar panels on EMU's campus at no cost to the university. And he asked me point blank what I was smoking in my pipe. And I promised that I wasn't smoking tobacco. So so with that, we started an 18-month journey in designing and developing the solar, not just the solar, the physical element of the solar panels on the roof, which actually was the easiest part. But the more complicated part was the business model, the financial model, the legal and regulatory. And that sort of leads me into this journey that I've enjoyed in sort of marrying teaching, business, and social entrepreneurship. Because we discovered early on with our local friendly utility company that if their first response to EMU's and our proposal to put up solar at EMU was, well, we'll just have to raise EMU's electric rates if you put up solar. That was their opening stance. And, of course, we laughed, which is a very good negotiating strategy, by the way. So we came back a couple 6 weeks later and said, there are other examples in the state where utility companies actually collaborate with solar and have what's called net metering policies. And without getting technical, it's just a way in which the solar that's generated at a place can get credit for the electricity it may send back to the utility so that the net cost to the university is makes it economically beneficial. Without going into a lot of weeds, it took about 3 to 6 months, or 4 to 6 months, to negotiate with a local utility company a policy that would not only benefit EMU, but the entire city of Harrisonburg, because they couldn't make an exception just for EMU. So what we inadvertently embarked on with an initial conversation for a project for EMU emerged as a policy that would benefit the city. Well, at the same time, we also needed to peel back another barrier, which was the taxes on the solar equipment would far exceed the value of the electricity generated. So we had to engage in one-on-one conversations with city council members, et cetera, about the possibility of a tax waiver on the equipment. That took another 3 or so months. All during this process, EMU's senior management was there with us, supportive, and pursuing this not just for EMU but for the common good. And what emerged out of this process has eventually became model legislation, not just for Harrisonburg, but it's been adopted now by the State Department of Environmental Quality as a model city ordinance that they are now promoting to all the jurisdictions throughout the state as an example of how to support solar in their communities. This all came back to, or started with, very informal conversations here at EMU about some crazy ideas about solar. And so what emerged from this, and my experience of this, has been that sometimes in developing a business, such as a solar business, which essentially pushes the envelope a little bit in terms of what people feel is possible, is that you find yourself called into serving the common good as a social entrepreneur and finding ways to collaborate with other parties, other stakeholders, shared kindred spirits in trying to bring about change in the social plane that makes it possible. Because in the end, it's really hard to make solar work in Virginia because electric rates are very low. But without all the other barriers, it can be figured out. But that, on top of the regulatory barriers, the utility opposition, makes it virtually impossible. And so, as it turned out, EMU became the leading example in the state of the first and largest solar photovoltaic system in 2010. We subsequently developed a project with WNL modeled very much after what we did here at EMU, and found another barrier, which was that Dominion Power issued a cease and desist letter not once but twice, and that while we were halfway through construction. So we were felt kind of compelled to move forward and figure out a plan B, which we eventually did. But in the meantime, we worked closely with a statewide coalition of environmental groups like Sierra Club, the Chesapeake Bay Alliance, the Southern Environmental Law Center, the Virginia Renewable Energy Association, the solar industry, and managed to promote some state legislation that would make projects like the ones we were doing here at EMU and WNL legally possible across the state. That House bill gained a lot of traction in the House. In fact, it received a unanimous vote, and then it got tabled in the Commerce and Labor Committee last year because Dominion has significant influence with those senators. However, this year, again, a long story short, we initiated another bill with in partnership with other groups, and that bill now has Dominion support because they got such a black eye from all the negative publicity of opposing the WNL project that they decided, apparently, to support this. And it looks like that bill will clear both houses of the legislature and land in the governor's office for signature sometime later this spring. So one might ask, well, why would someone continuously bruise their head against the wall so much and trying to, and I sometimes ask myself, and my wife has asked me numerous occasions, and I think it's a certain sense of internal values that are we find reflected in the communities that we work with. The community here at EMU is one where it really nurtures that sense of pursuing the common good and stewardship, and that sense of values and long-term purpose has what has sustained us in the dark days of trying to do battle royal with major forces aligned against renewable energy. So I'd like to tie in with one of the core values that I found particularly resonates with my experience here, and that's the Article 21 from the Confession of Faith, which is about stewardship. And just read a little bit from it. We believe that everything belongs to God, who calls us, the church, to live as faithful stewards of all that God has entrusted to us. As servants of God, our primary vocation is to be stewards in God's household. We believe that time also belongs to God, and that we are to use with care the time of which we are stewards. As stewards of God's earth, we are called to care for the earth and to bring rest and renewal to the land and everything that lives on it. And to me, that's very emblematic of what this institution is about, this whole sense of stewardship, not only of the earth, but of the time that we have together. And I would just sort of share with you the thought that if God owns our time, then we must be also serve as faithful stewards and manage our time well. And in effect, that becomes the entrepreneur's mantra, to manage time well. Peter Drucker has noted that time is the scarcest resource, and unless it is managed, nothing else can be managed. So in closing, I would just suggest that as students, I commend you for choosing EMU as where you are pursuing your calling, and encourage you to use your time well in pursuing these stewardship principles. Thank you.
I want to express a very grateful thanks to both you, Tony, and Leah for sharing your stories today. Stories of faith and vocation are important to us as a department, and as you continue to walk with these ideas and figuring out what's next, how do I become involved with the world, we encourage you to come talk with us, ask questions about your own journey, ask us questions about our own journey. We're always interested in exploring more about who we are and along with who you are as well. May God be with you today and through this week, and bless you in all that you're doing. Amen.